This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Is it a given that the Chiefs are just going to get right back in the Super Bowl next year? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It happened to the Patriots, Pearl. They were on an unstoppable run. And while their air quotes, like their Super Bowl drought ended up lasting 9 years, it didn't mean they fell off the map. You know, they kept winning their division. They kept making it basically to either divisional round or AFC championship game. But that elusive Super Bowl, you know, they literally went 9 years without winning one. Could the same thing be in store for Kansas City?
I don't think so. But I, honestly, the way people are talking about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, it's like he's Nate Peterman after Sunday's game. Oh, is it a given that he's back next year? People are saying that they're a bad team, which is so funny. I think they're being underrated. I mean, it's crazy to say the Kansas City Chiefs, the team that everyone was rooting against because they were too good. I think people are forgetting how quickly they bounced back after their last Super Bowl debacle. It doesn't matter. What a loss is a loss. I don't care if the Eagles almost shut them out. That does not mean that they can't storm back.
Yeah, I think there's part of it, because I've been wondering why it kind of feels like that, too. Are we getting a little too down on the Eagles? And I think,
on
the Chiefs. And I think it's partly because of how the Eagles won that game.
Right.
We had a caller who called us earlier and said, it was just a bad day, just a bad game for the Eagles, for the Chiefs, keep doing this, for the Chiefs, just a bad day. I don't think that's true. I think that the Eagles were the much better roster.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Eagles had the formula for how to beat the Chiefs. And I don't think this was a fluke that, you know, hey, just the Chiefs didn't have it. Now, the Chiefs didn't look good. The Chiefs did look flat. But this was such a domination on both of the lines of scrimmage. I think if they played each other 10 times, I think the Eagles are winning 8 of those games. Like, and I think that's what has led to some of the overly negative kind of feelings on the Chiefs. One, people did want to see them get smacked around a little bit, and then you got it. And two, just in how it looked and how they lost, and then potential changes that could be on the horizon.
Is there any difference between what you just said and what we said the day after they got destroyed by Tampa Bay?
You know, you want to know what
it was? The game was just as bad.
You're right. But it still felt like they were so fresh and young and new there. Yes, they had won a Super Bowl already. They had won under their belt. But it felt like this real ascension. We're talking about a team that's been to 7 straight AFC championship games and played in 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls and won 3. Does that feel like a team that's still on the rise or a team that's about to peak and maybe take a little bit of a step back?
Well, I mean, listen, there's still a lot of talent there, obviously. They have a lot of young stars. I think it's so funny the way their wide receiver core is lining up for next year. Like, they might have a better set of weapons than they've had in a long time. If Rashee Rice really comes back healthy, and Worthy looked like a star in that game. He looked like the fastest receiver on the field for both teams.
He was the fastest player
ever in combine.
I mean, the touchdown at the end, like,
right,
was...
But if he had time to throw to him, like, I you could see he was destroying the DBs trying to cover him. So if you could get Rashee Rice, who's probably a Pro Bowl-level wide receiver, and then you add a veteran, there's a million 30-year-old veterans on the field, I know DeAndre Hopkins to work out, but if you got, say, a Cooper Kupp, you could build that part. The question is the O-line. And the only nothing really matters if you can't block for Patrick Mahomes, but they rebuilt it so crazy fast the last two times. They've just been rotating in veterans, putting them on one-year deals, and Jed's a millionaire. I why can't they do that again?
They can, but again, they had a couple guys this year that didn't work out for them, right? There were depth issues.
Then
when they started to get hurt, when you have Kingsley Suamachi.
Yeah, he's a draft pick. I'm saying, get an
old guy. And Wanya Morris and these guys.
Draft pick.
Okay, but they're supposed to, when they needed some of these guys because the depth got tested, they weren't there. So whether it's draft picks or whether they sign guys, because Juwan Taylor is also the most penalized offensive lineman in the NFL.
But still, he was good enough to get them two Super Bowl rings. Or was it one?
I
forget if he was in the... Yeah, no, two. He was definitely there for two.
Was he there for both of them? The back-to-back?
I thought he was there against Philly, but I could be wrong.
We are asking you on X, what's more likely to happen? The Chiefs win another Super Bowl next year, or the Chiefs go through a Patriots-like nine-year Super Bowl drought?
Also, here's one
right
major...
Right now, drought is winning 59%.
Couple are... They kept Steve Spagnuolo, and I don't think... Now, if Spagnuolo's getting older, he might not get a head coaching job. So I don't care what's happening. There is going to be a game where Spagnuolo is going to come in the Super Bowl, and he'll be an underdog, and he will torture the other team. So there's a lot... Their defense has a lot of young, good players. Chris Jones is getting old. That's an issue. But they still have Trent McDuffie. They still have all those linebackers. They have George Karlaftis. I'm not selling them out at all. And also... They have the mental edge in the AFC. You know it.
Yeah, I watch it every single year. Against everyone, I think, except for the Bengals, who have actually gone into Arrowhead and won. But
yeah,
the Bengals have to get
headed,
their own things together.
Yeah, they're headed south because of personnel. They can't afford to keep that roster together. So, yeah, I mean, I understand why you would say that they're not on the ascension like they were in 2021. But I think we can fool ourselves into writing them off.
855-212-4227. So you can answer that question. Chiefs more likely to get back to the Super Bowl next year or a drought? Now, we have some interesting audio here because Perloff now I don't think you're turning the page yet. We haven't even had the Eagles parade yet.
Oh, I'm ready for the dynasty, baby.
Okay. You're already looking ahead to see who the Eagles will face week one of next year. Now, here's Adam Schefter confirming that the Eagles will open up the season at home.
Now that the Eagles have won the Super Bowl and they're the champs, they're going to open the NFL season in 2025 at home. Last year, they were playing in Brazil Friday night, the night after the Chiefs hosted the Ravens and Isaiah Likely stepped out. This year, the Eagles will open their season at home, that Thursday night game.
Okay, so that's a little bit from Schefter. How about some possibilities of who's going to be their opponent?
Here are the exact possibilities. The Commanders, interesting. The Cowboys, not bad. The Giants, the division foes. Then we have the Bears, Lions, Raiders, Rams, and Broncos.
I don't even think this is a question.
The Commanders.
This is so obvious who they're going to open with.
Who?
The Lions.
But they, Schefter rightly pointed out that Fox is going to make a play for that game. They don't put the best game on opening night because they know they'll have the audience.
I mean, but we got Chiefs-Ravens.
But a couple years ago, we got Chiefs-Lions.
I know, but the Lions were like a team that was on the rise.
But they were 9-8. There were better teams on the Chiefs record.
Okay, so who do you think it's going to be?
So Schefter likes the Bears, and I'm down with that. Because you have Ben Johnson, the hottest coaching candidate to be hired in years, and you have Caleb Williams. And it's the biggest market on this list. Like, it'd be a huge... They're going to get the huge rating. They don't need... The Lions, they should save, because that's a... That feels like a midseason game. It doesn't feel like that's going to be the week 8. The Cowboys, they don't want to waste the Cowboys because they know that'll be a huge rating. So to me, you're looking at the Bears, the Broncos, and the Rams. They just played the Rams. The Broncos are interesting too. Like Bo Nix, is that Sean Payton? Those two teams with their young quarterbacks are fascinating to me.
I don't think that the Broncos are there yet. And the Broncos were great making the playoffs last year, but then they got, you know, they kept it close for what, about half against Buffalo, and then they got blown out in the playoffs. I don't think that they're there yet. I guess I could see Bears, but think about it. Last year, one of the marquee games, you would have thought definitely Eagles, Packers, and they weren't afraid to put that in Brazil. And the Packers were clearly the ascent team. You and I both picked them to go to the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, but I don't think the Eagles were the it team. They had lost five of their last six games the year before. I don't. It's the opener. They're going to get a million eyeballs. Don't waste the Lions. Like, this is a calculus, right? That's the game of the year for the Eagles. So I think they go lesser. What about Washington? They're kind of an it team, too.
I don't love starting with a division rival, though.
It kind of feels like
I don't like that.
They're going to play twice.
They do this all the time, and it chaps me. I don't love when the NFL does this. Like, don't put a division game week one. Like, teams are still figuring their stuff out.
Oh, you mean to tell me you weren't a fan of Giants-Cowboys at 4:05 every year?
That's tradition, right? Every year.
No. Oh, God.
I wonder, will the Commanders get a full slate of primetime games? I think they do.
Yes.
Definitely.
They become the new Lions, I think.
Yeah.
What is it? Six, right? Is how many primetime games you can max out?
Is it five or six? The Lions obviously will get a full slate. I'm curious.
Do you think the Bears get a full slate?
The Bears got almost a full slate last year, right? They were like a hot team because of Caleb. I don't know. I'm interested. I think what the difference is. I'm into Ben Johnson, the new coach, and I think they got Dennis Allen as their D coordinator. This is an interesting team to me. Also, I want the Eagles to win.
You think they have a better shot of beating the Bears than the Lions. That's why. This is all selfish.
Well, they'll be favored against the Lions. The Lions are a big question mark. They lost both their coordinators. Jared Goff just really turned into a pumpkin. This is of course, there's a lot that's going to happen between now and then. Like, the Rams are on their schedule. We were just talking about Matthew Stafford might not be there. So I guess they're going to have to wait to make this decision, but... Anyway, I'm just excited. I can't wait. It's 6 months till we get actual football again.
You haven't even had the parade yet. You already want to flip the page to next year? You don't want to sit with this a little longer?
Are you kidding me? I got Jalen Carter. I got Saquon Barkley in his prime. I'm ready to play some more football.
You just want the season to go forever.
Keep pushing the Super Bowl back until June as far as I'm concerned. Yes, more football.
855-212-4227. Andy's in Pittsburgh. Andy, who do you think's going to be?
Hey. I think they're going to be playing Dallas. I hate to say it. I don't like Dallas. I hate Dallas, actually. But I think it's going to be Dallas because division rival and America's team. Every time, seems like it, no matter what Dallas's record is, 1-15 or 16-0 or whatever, they're going to be on TV because they're so-called America's team. Mm-hmm. And I watch, if there's another game on besides the Dallas game, I'll watch the other one. Because I don't like Dallas.
So you think it's going to be the Eagles, Cowboys? Andy, love to hear it. Thank you.
Could be.
With what, Tom Brady on the call? Oh, no, it's Thursday, so it's got to be Collinsworth.
Thursday night. I think it's still... I have no idea. Who did the Eagles open up with last time?
Here's a guy.
I seem to remember Sylvester Stallone was there ringing the bell.
So this was after they won in 2017.
Yes, and they opened up... I remember this game. If anyone can, it was one of the most boring football games of all time. They played
I looked it up, so I know.
The Atlanta Falcons, and it was 18-12. It was a drag of a game. It was awful.
You wasted a Sylvester Stallone appearance on 18-12?
Yeah, that's the 2018 Atlanta Falcons, who I assume were 8-8 based on history. Anyway, aren't you excited? Like, we're talking prime time. We're getting schedule.
See, I can't get here yet because we still have too many dominoes with these quarterbacks. The one story that I think I can already tell that I'm becoming obsessed with is Aaron Rodgers playing for the Steelers. And I know, like, somebody, you know, bought a billboard or something in Pittsburgh the other day to call out Mike Tomlin and said the new standard is mediocre. Like, the locals are getting restless over there. And I think they hated how the season ended, obviously. And we do not care. They're just sick of it. And bringing Russ back or maybe Justin Fields, I don't think that's going to be enough for this fan base. Rodgers would really be something. And I think that building, like, first of all, McAfee's a Pittsburgh guy. If it really is about not doing these McAfee appearances, I don't know if there's something different about that being his hometown and Rodgers being there, and I don't know, but something about that feels like it's happening to me.
God, that would be so disappointing.
Well, think about it, though. If you're talking about Rodgers actually only coming back because he wants to win a Super Bowl, of all the teams you're talking about, Tennessee, Cleveland, the Raiders, none of them are anywhere close. The Steelers, with that defense and with an established coach like Mike Tomlin, and at least you have George Pickens, at least you have a run game, at least you have something of an offensive line that you hope takes a step forward next year. I just think that's the closest thing Rodgers is going to get from all the available spots.
I mean, yeah, that's probably true, the closest he's going to get, but it's a terrible offense. I mean, it's just awful. They have I would say they have the worst receiving core in the league. I would also say that that supposed run game is not as good as you're saying it is. That O-line is a disappointment, and they're in a brutal, brutal division.
The division's hard.
Well, actually, the Bengals might take a step back. You got Cleveland. Get him with one of the quarterback guys. Get him with O'Connell. Get him with Kyle Shanahan. Get him with Sean McVay. And then we're talking, if he's going to go out with an Aaron Rodgers season. Don't go out with basically Kenny Pickett 2.0. I don't want to see him in Pittsburgh. Don't you think it'll be boring? They're such a boring team. Tomlin has gotten so conservative in his old age.
Here's the thing. I don't think any team is going to ask Aaron Rodgers, hey, we need you to throw the ball 40 times in a game. If you do, you're sunk. That's not how you win with him now.
Any chance he could be a bridge quarterback in Minnesota? Because that's where old quarterbacks go to resuscitate their career one last time.
Depends on McCarthy. If J.J. McCarthy has another setback or if they don't like what they see, then definitely. I don't think they're going to franchise tag Sam Darnold anymore. I think they're going to let him go. But if something happens with McCarthy, then yeah. If not, I think J.J. McCarthy is starting week one for the Minnesota Vikings.
I would love to see Aiden Hutchinson flying off that edge to tee off on Aaron Rodgers with that offensive line. Okay. Go ahead.
That'd be a long day.
Wait, what team are you talking about?
The Vikings.
You'd love to see. Come on. The Lions? The Lions let up 40 points like six times this year.
Did Aiden Hutchinson play in those games? Okay, that's what I thought.
I'm just saying, if you let Aaron Rodgers play with Kevin O'Connell, that'd be nice. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson. Oof.
Okay.
I'm telling you, you don't
invest. Dude, Sam Darnold just had an MVP-like season there.
But you don't invest that high of a pick in a quarterback if you're not ready to play him when he's healthy.
No, you're absolutely right. It's a stretch. Obviously, and Shanahan, that'd be amazing, but it looks like they're going to pay Brock Purdy. Would Rodgers be a backup to Brock Purdy, hoping that he gets in at some point? That's tough.
We haven't seen it since he was a backup to Favre a lifetime ago.
I want him to go to where Tampa Bay with Tom Brady. Tom Brady looked at that roster and said, they're a sleeping giant offensively. And I just don't think the Steelers are a sleeping giant. I think that Tomlin's just way too conservative right now. You're right. It does seem likely. And you're right. By far, that's the best chance of winning. And it'd be great to see. It'd be interesting. But I don't know. Come on. The Steelers are so boring. Arthur Smith just kills me. Any fantasy owner knows Arthur Smith will kill your talented players.
But what if Aaron Rodgers could be more like Joe Montana with the Chiefs, right? Joe Montana didn't go to some offensive juggernaut. Like, he went to a team with a great defense, great pass rusher, great running game, and he was a supplement to a Chiefs team that ended up going to the AFC Championship game. Like, we keep thinking of Aaron Rodgers as the guy he was 10 years ago, where put him with all these weapons, let him throw 4,000 yards. Like, maybe he does need to go to a team where they have a lot of other ways to beat you, and then he becomes more of a luxury rather than him trying to carry the team. Because I watched him try to carry the Jets, and he basically drove us off the Brooklyn Bridge. I mean, it was a disaster. Like, you can't have this guy be your end all be all. You need a full team that can win on offense, defense, and special teams, and in multiple ways offensively. Running the football is gonna be key for him.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Can Najee Harris become Marcus Allen?
Aaron Rodgers is like he's got to zip the ball around 100 times to be effective. Like, that's the Aaron Rodgers, that quick passing game, and like, I don't know. It doesn't feel right. It feels like you're describing Ben Roethlisberger or somebody to me, guy who'll just like occasionally. That's not Rodgers. Rodgers feels to me like he needs to be a high volume passer. You're right. It probably would be better, but I can't see him being like a kind of like Jalen Hurts. It just doesn't make sense to me.
It's called evolving. 855-212-4227.
You don't evolve at 41 when you're Aaron Rodgers.
Well, he might not have a choice. Okay, where do you see Aaron Rodgers next year? What do you think is the best shot for him to win? Well, he can answer that question. Also, are the Chiefs more likely to be back in the Super Bowl next year, or is a Patriots-like drought? Patriots went 9 long seasons without winning a Super Bowl. Is that on deck for KC? You tell us. 855-212-4227. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. We'll get back to the Chiefs. Our question, are they more likely to be in the Super Bowl next year, or are they going to go on a Patriots-like drought? Patriots went 9 seasons, 9 long years between hoisting Lombardi trophies at 855-212-4227. Can I tell you guys something? So I think I have a lot of discipline about a lot of things in my personal life. Like, mm-hmm. I generally have pretty good willpower on certain things. And one of them is, like, air quotes, kid food, right? Like, I don't really eat the same stuff my kids eat. I've talked to a lot of parents. Oh, they, you know, whatever their kid leaves on the plate, like, they'll eat, you know, like, half eaten slices of pizza and the leftover peanut butter and jelly and the
right.
the French fries and the chicken fingers and stuff like that. I can say no to all of that stuff. Can I tell you the one weakness about kids' food that I have? It's the macaroni and cheese from the box. This is not an adult food. Like, this is, they've made it a little bit more like healthy. You can get organic now, you know, all that stuff. I make my kid mac and cheese from the box, which he loves. I can't stay away. I can't. Everything
sounds,
else.
Sounds yummy.
I know, but I can say no to the French fries. I can say no to the pizza, the chicken wings, the chicken tenders, whatever. All that kids crap, I cannot say no to the mac and cheese in the box. It's too good sitting there in the pan.
Yeah, box mac and cheese is one of the few, like, box processed foods that is still great.
Oh, my gosh. That powdered cheese, is that even cheese?
Definitely
no
not.
Shot.
No way.
Is it even cheese product? Like, how do they get away with even calling this cheese without an asterisk on it?
It's so good, though. It's so good.
A little milk, and that thing just turns into, I don't know, it's magic.
So you avoid French fries?
I just, it's not like one of those cravings that I have. Like, I can sit there and order my, we can go to an ice cream shop. I will order my kid an ice cream, and I'll just sit there and watch him eat it.
That's weird.
Well, you're anti-ice cream, so that's another thing.
It's not anti. I don't love the texture. You're right. But there's some of the kids' it's foods weirder. I can just, like, say no to, you know? That mac and cheese, forget it. I'm powerless. I don't know if you have this with your kids.
Nah, yeah, we eat healthy. But you don't like ice cream? You've never said that.
I don't like it. I just, you know, we've talked about how I don't like
don't
certain
like flan.
Food textures.
You don't like custard.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Do you hate puppies too? Like,
what yeah. But and ice rainbows cream, and sunshine.
I didn't know ice cream was part of that no-go.
It's not that I don't, it's not that I hate it. It being cold makes it a little different than the flan. But I don't crave ice cream a lot.
Yeah, wow. we've done this on the show. Yeah, she.
Oh, I thought
she said
I thought,
she said she could take or leave ice cream. Yeah. Was the quote.
That's you crazy.
Freak.
But box mac and cheese, huh?
Yeah, that's the Achilles heel. I'm telling you, walk by it on your stove. Good luck. It's too good.
No fries. Also, willpower on fries.
Yeah, fries don't really do it for me.
I had some truffle fries last night. Oh.
Yeah, every once in a while when I'm in the mood. But no, I can walk by them.
But that Kraft.
Oh, that powdered macaroni and cheese that is just everything fake, except for the pasta, I guess. I don't even know if that's 100%.
Mm.
I always wonder why as kids, I mean, the mac and cheese is awesome, but why as kids we were pressed over these terrible tasting foods. Like, you ever try to eat some of this stuff beyond the mac and cheese? They all sound like taste terrible. Like, trying to eat Lunchables, like, now, it's like gross. It's like not even food. It's like, what were we doing?
It must be because I was born in 97, but the Lunchables are delicious.
Maybe they upgraded. Anyway, 855-212-4227, a kid's food that you can't avoid. Anyway.
All of them.
All right, lots more to do here, including some major, major question marks now for Jalen Hurts going forward, but all of the good variety. It's none of the bad variety of question marks anymore on Jalen Hurts. Where does he rank now in quarterback, you know, standings and lists and all of that? Like, to the victor goes the spoils. I think the biggest questions now, is he getting to the Hall of Fame, Perla? You know, is Jalen Hurts going to be a walk-in, shoe-in Hall of Fame quarterback now that he has vanquished Mahomes?
Well, this debate is always funny because people be like, well, if his season ended today, he wouldn't make it. But it's crazy because his numbers are not going to be Hall of Fame numbers. He's 26 and he's not even close. But he's definitely making
it. As far as
the
counting numbers you're talking about.
His passing statistics. Or his overall statistics. He's not even anywhere. Nothing like, doesn't profile anything like a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's making the Hall of Fame.
If he never goes back to another Super Bowl, he's making the Hall of Fame because he stopped the three-peat.
Yeah, no, because he's got two Super Bowls and a win, and that is a surefire, in my opinion, except for one exception, Jim Plunkett. I know Eli didn't get in his first ballot. If you go to two Super Bowls and you win one, you're in.
Again, Eli not in yet. Now,
yeah,
we
but
think
he's,
Eli
he's only
be
been
in.
On one ballot.
Yeah.
But name a guy who's gone through, 5 years, who's been, you can't, there are none, except for Plunkett. that's gone through the whole voting process and not made it. It just doesn't exist. Even Matt Ryan, for going to one, is going to make it.
You think so? Well,
I think he will, yeah.
But, you know, Matt Ryan also has a lot of, doesn't he have a lot of those?
He's got an MVP.
Those counting stats, too, right? He's pretty high on a lot of these lists.
I think, yeah, of course. But Jalen Hurts, I just think that, first of all, the way the Eagles are built with all that young talent, is a great chance to get to a third. Great chance. So it feels, if I had to bet, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, which is crazy because I think coming into this year, people are like, wow, could this be his last year? Am I caught in the moment?
You know, if you were asking me like the gut check, is Jalen Hurts a Hall of Fame quarterback? Right now, my answer would be no. But he has played very well in both Super Bowls. I know he had the fumble six in the first one, and he did throw a pick in this one. But he was excellent, and he's the MVP. But my gut says no. Like on talent alone, not a Hall of Famer. But I do think he will get there, and I think it's because of who he beat has a lot to do with it. Just like Eli Manning. If Eli Manning had, instead of beating the, you know, Tom Brady undefeated Patriots and then Brady and Belichick again, let's just say he beat randomly the, you know, Chargers one year and then he
Houston
beat the
Texans.
Yeah, right. Whatever. I don't know if it's looked at in the same way. But Mike still get in the Hall of Fame. But who he beat and how they did it, I think matters. And it will matter for her.
I know it does matter, but it really doesn't matter because if Cam Newton was dead wrong about legacy, like an MVP doesn't really guarantee anything where winning a Super Bowl or getting to multiple Super Bowls. I mean, look at the list, unfortunately, is all pretty much Brady and Mahomes.
Yeah, but the guys who have been winning lately.
But Stafford's Super Bowl is going to get him in. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Has accounting numbers. Who else has won? Nick Foles will not get in because he was a part-time player, obviously. But generally, like pretty much everybody, Russ is getting in, right?
Pine Needle says Jalen Hurts is not a Hall of Famer. Never, ever, ever.
Russell, what's the difference between Jalen Hurts and Russell Wilson statistically?
Well, but Russ isn't in yet, you know?
Yeah, he will be. Maybe, I think Eli, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Eli won't get in, but I just feel like at the end of the day, eventually these guys get in.
I agree with him. I think Eli, I think Russ, I think Hurts. I think that two Super Bowl thing is funny. We were talking about it on the production call, just kind of going through the list. I'm like, yeah, I can't, besides Plunkett, there's no other guy. And Eli is his first year on the ballot, so I don't really want to judge him yet. But
Eli could be the guy because next year's ballot's so crazy. You know, Drew Brees comes on, Larry Fitzgerald comes on.
And I don't think guys he's getting in next year.
Yeah, next year is impossible. Next year there's all these first-time finalists. But
how long do you think Eli's going to wait?
I think he gets in the year after that.
Probably. If it's not within, you know, not next year, but 3 to 5 years, I think it would be a tragedy. It would be a tragedy if Eli Manning's not in Canton. You can't tell the story, you can't tell the history of football without those two Super Bowl wins over the Patriots.
I mean, they let in Eric Allen and Jared Allen after a few years of voting. I was shocked. I could not believe Eric Allen made it before Eli Manning.
Jared Allen's been out of the league, what, 5 years?
Longer than that.
No, longer. His last game was the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
6-7 years.
So they do
after retirement.
They're like baseball. They don't like the first ballot. That was what that was all about.
Yeah, I don't think that Eli Manning deserved to be first ballot.
Well, I don't know.
Rest of his numbers.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the school. I think EJ, you said this. If you're going to put him in, why wait? The ballot thing might be overstated.
I agree.
I think that there's something special about being a first ballot Hall of Famer.
It's funny you say that. I think the best of the best. More with baseball to me than football, because football, usually they let in 7 guys. It was so weird that they didn't let in more guys this year.
Only
remember
4.
Deion said that he thinks there should be a different class of Hall of Famer?
That's what led to all of this. That's why it's only going to be 5 members now from basically here until the end of time.
I agree with Deion on this. I think there should be an inner circle, like a inner chamber.
Ooh.
And I do think that the first ballot should be reserved for the guys who, when you make their case, you just have to stand up, say their name, and sit back down. Like, we all know who they are, the guys who walk in.
But don't we have that, though, with, like, you know, 50th, you know, all-decade team? Or, you know, in basketball, we have the 50 greatest or 75. I feel like we do have that. It's just maybe not as publicized as the Hall of Fame.
I think it's a good idea, and idealistically it makes sense. But in reality, I don't think it makes sense. I think, like, logistically, they can't say you're less of a Hall of Famer.
Wouldn't that be interesting if they're like, congratulations, you know, Sterling Sharp, like you've made it to tier 2.
You're
the
bronze
Hall
tier.
Yeah. You're on the loge deck of the Hall of Fame.
That's like second team All-Pro. Or next year, by the way, look at this class. I think Oh, gosh, because they still have Kuechly to put in, too, who they didn't make in the first.
That's right. Torrey Holt.
Yeah. And, well, Torrey Holt's been
there for a while.
He's been passed over a lot. Yeah, I agree. Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald, Jason Witten, Frank Gore, Phillip Rivers. Oof. I think Gore and Rivers have to wait, but those guys are Hall of Famers. There's no doubt.
I mean, I think Rivers should wait.
I don't think he's a first ballot
Hall of Famer guy, played in one AFC championship game.
Yeah, but he'll get in eventually. Same with Gore. Gore might not be, you might argue Gore's not a first ballot because he really, when he was getting his big numbers, I don't think he went to the Super Bowl.
Actually, with the 49ers.
I don't think that team done.
Yeah, he didn't go to
Super
Bowl.
Was he on the 2012?
He was on the team where Kyle Williams fumbled the ball, right?
No, he was on the Jim Harbaugh team.
Oh, he went to that team too?
Yeah, he was on the team that lost Harbaugh, to the Ravens. I'm thinking about
the Chiefs Super Bowl. Yeah, no, he was on that team.
Okay, well, all right. But he generally, he did not, his big season was 2006. He had 1695, and then he just sort of went downhill. You know, he just was a, whatever. We're not doing a Frank Gore debate. But the point is, there's a lot of traffic going on here. So, Eli, they got to put in at some point. But if Eric Allen and Jared Allen are in the Hall of Fame, we're talking about way more famous names, right?
Let's get to the headlines. Bogush has them. You can call us at 855-212-4227. Should there be different tiers in the Hall of Fame that you get elected to? What's up, folks?
We had the projections yesterday morning. Now we have the official numbers for the Super Bowl 59 audience. A record 127.7 million viewers watched Chiefs-Eagles across Fox Streaming, Fox Deportes, and Telemundo. The peak was 137.7 mil from 8 to 8:15 Eastern. And the halftime show had its own record of 133.5 mil. The overall number is a 3% increase from last year, which was the record that just got broken.
I thought people didn't like the halftime show. I mean,
they watched it, a lot of critics did not like it.
But that proves that people liked it then.
No, because they had to show up.
They were interested.
Yeah, they had to show up to then learn that they didn't like it for whatever reason.
Right.
They turned out in droves.
Yeah. They didn't pre-protest.
What happened between 8 and 8:15? I'm trying to think.
So it was the second quarter.
Okay. I was going to say, the game kicked off at what, 6?
40-something?
I noticed it was 40. I thought it used to start at 20. Why'd you do that, Bogush? Why'd you move it back?
Why did I change kickoff time? I can't tell you.
40? I was a little surprised by that. Anyway, I think that rating for the Kendrick Lamar show is that at least the controversy of it sold. I think that the NFL is probably pretty stoked with that number. But
definitely. That's a massive number. Obviously, it's the biggest ever. And it's funny, I was looking at the, I thought maybe it was like linear where every year is just getting bigger.
Keeps going up, yeah.
There were some valleys in this 5-year stretch, I guess. I saw the poll earlier today. Who didn't deliver? I want to say Rihanna was kind of low, but I have to double check that, to be honest.
You know what I didn't like that other people liked? I'll just throw it out there because I was thinking about it all night. I know I'm getting off topic. Justin Timberlake doing the one dance, that is not my kind of halftime show. I need props. I need guest stars. I need all sorts of bells and whistles. At least Samuel L. Jackson was there last night. I did not like Justin Timberlake.
You mean Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday. Right. I like lots of moving parts and lots of production. I don't want just a guy performing. Is that fair to ask for a halftime show?
Well, that's what it was.
Yeah. Well, at least they get Serena out there. Like, Timberlake got nothing.
2 seconds.
Yeah, I wanted more from Kendrick Lamar. I wanted more guest stars. Mm. I'm totally shallow like that. I want more covers. I want everything.
We had Usher roller skating 2 years ago.
Didn't love that.
It blew my mind.
Mad cool.
Yeah, he's amazing at it.
Wait, was there a guest star with Usher?
There were a lot of people.
Alicia Keys showed up.
Oh, okay.
Little John. Somebody else was out.
Little John. Yeah.
But when 50 Cent was hanging upside down during the Dr. Dre concert, that was amazing.
Well, that was everyone who ever rapped ever was on that halftime show.
That's what I'm demanding. I want a best of, anyway, it's all good. But Kendrick Lamar, he probably could have done one or two more stars, right?
Perloff wants I Love the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, I want a guest star that no one knows is coming.
How about SZA?
Well, we knew SZA was coming.
SZA's got a song with him.
The surprise guest that we had was Serena.
Yeah.
And Samuel L. Jackson.
I guess, yeah. Philly couldn't care less at the moment, but the Sixers are a season worst 13 games under .500 after a 106-103 home loss to the Raptors. But
they stay a game and a half behind the Bulls for the last spot in the East play-in
because Chicago took a 132-92 beating from the Pistons last night.
That game was 71-29 at halftime, the 42-point differential tying for the seventh biggest halftime gap. Does everybody remember that Billy Donovan is still the Bulls head coach?
Listen, it was all the way around, coaching, playing, everything. It was just bad. I don't know what else to say about it. You know, we have to own it. You know what I mean? The thing to me in these situations there is there's no excuses.
Let me point out that they were outscored in the first half by 42 points last night. In their previous game, in the second half, they were outscored by 35. So that's a 77-point thumping over four quarters.
Oh, my goodness.
They really want Cooper Flagg.
God, that darn lottery stands on their way.
I know, but it doesn't seem to be stopping some of these teams from being atrociously bad.
He definitely made a massive mistake leaving college, right?
He can always go back. I don't think he's going to go back now.
He's been there a while, hasn't he? As Bogus pointed out.
He was the Thunder before that.
Yeah.
Has he been an NBA coach longer than college at this point? Can we get a little stats?
He's probably close. I don't know if he's there, but he's close. He only
not counting the assistant coach.
Yeah, because he only coached as a head coach at Florida. He never coached another school, I believe, right? He was assistant with Rick, and then he went straight to Florida.
I couldn't tell. I don't remember now. Was he ever the head coach of Providence?
He was the head coach at Marshall and then Florida. And then in 2015, he joined the Thunder.
Okay. Can you get us the years? How many years in college as a head coach versus pros?
Yeah. I'll also take what arena Marshall plays in. Thank you.
Don't overload him.
Want a side of eggs with that? Bacon?
11 years as a college head coach. And what are we, 2024 now? So 9 years as an NBA head coach. 10 almost.
I can't do the math. I'm looking at the same. So we started in 2015. It's 2025 now. Is that 9 or 10?
Both yes. Back to you.
Yeah, Manny and I are going to, or you can see our brains breaking in real time.
Kevin Durant joined the 30,000-point club last night with free throws in the third quarter of a 119-112 loss to the Grizzlies.
Imagine counting up to 30,000.
The Suns have now dropped five of their last six. And last thing from me, Yankee manager Aaron Boone stirring up some drama yesterday when he criticized the Dodgers for dissing his team after L.A. won the World Series.
They won, so, you know, they have that right to say whatever. Hopefully we're in that position next year and handle things with a little more class.
So the end is the key there. Pitcher Joe Kelly, utility man Chris Taylor, the main culprits making jokes about the Yankee defense and base running on podcasts and such after the World Series.
I mean, it was atrocious.
A little bit.
Also, Joe Kelly and Yankee beef goes back to when he was on the Red Sox.
I do not like Joe Kelly.
I just can't believe we're already back to pitchers and catchers.
Oh, yeah.
Feeling warm. We're here.
You're feeling warm. It's 5 degrees outside.
Still, doesn't matter. There's pitchers pitching and catchers catching. Let's go.
And we're back to meaningless manager press conferences. But that was good from Boone. Stirring up a little trouble.
Nothing quite like a baseball manager talking in February, right?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, lots more to do. Bogus, thank you for that. I was actually a little surprised that he did call them out. But you know what? The Yankees played like doo-doo in that fifth inning. So, sorry, Manny. This one's weird. Two former baseball players squaring off on Bourbon Street. What the heck happened?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing.
But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Get to that next. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. So some video has emerged now, Perloff, from New Orleans. Revelry post-Super Bowl. And it's odd because it's two former baseball players who are very infamous for very different reasons, who appear to be nearly coming to blows. One of them is Patrick Mahomes Sr., Mahomes' dad.
Right, I don't think of him as a former baseball player as much as a sports dad, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, he played in the major leagues for 15 years or more on four different teams.
Patrick Mahomes Sr. played for 15 years?
I believe so, yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, he was in the league forever. And
wow.
He's obviously had some major issues. He's gotten pulled over for multiple DUIs. I think he had to do some prison stints, like on the weekends and stuff, because of the DWIs. Him almost coming to blows with John Rocker and cue the asteroid. I mean, these two guys, it looks like such a work, and it's come out later that apparently the two are going to be potentially bare knuckle boxing each other as part of Barstool's Rough and Rowdy vehicle.
Of course.
I mean, I don't like where society's going if we're watching Pat Mahomes Sr. and John Rocker fight each other in a bare knuckle brawl. Will you watch it?
No, definitely not. I mean, I know that Pat Mahomes Sr. has had some personal difficulties. Yeah. I didn't know he was that kind of character. Like, I know all about Rocker. Rocker's on social media.
Yeah,
Rocker's so famous. But
very disgraced.
But I feel like this is really bad news on the Mahomes front.
It's embarrassing for Patrick.
Yeah, this sucks. Like the John Rocker, I'd love to see John Rocker get beat up. Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
But the Mahomes thing, That's the bummer. I am not. I feel almost very sad about this.
What do you think, guys? Are you going to watch this thing? Do you have any morbid curiosity about watching Pat Mahomes Sr. get into a bare-knuckle fight with John Rocker?
There's no chance that there's any hope or any kind of way that I could be contributing to John Rocker getting bread. Yeah. I'm not. I'm out.
By the way, he looks huge in the video.
Oh, yeah. He's taking every steroid that exists known to man.
I don't know why. It's not like he's going to be playing baseball again, or is he in some independent league or something and still kicking around?
He's in his 50s. He can't be.
He looks like he's going to tip over because his body's like, you know, because he looks like he's, quite frankly, on something.
Yeah, seriously. No, I mean, he looks like a bodybuilder, and it's bizarre. Everything about all of this is bizarre. And to be honest, we say we're, you know, feel bad for Patrick Mahomes, and I do. But I do wonder if some of this has to do with maybe Mahomes being so distant from Senior. Like, is that why this is happening? Because to me, like, why would Pat Mahomes Senior need to do this? Like, he shouldn't need money. He shouldn't really need even publicity. You would think that his junior would be able to help him out with both of those.
But you know what? You never know people's dynamic. You never know what the relationship is like. And the money sometimes can make it even more complicated. I mean, hell, Kobe Bryant had to cut his family off. You know, and you would have thought that Jelly Bean had enough money and they were selling his memorabilia, remember, and he didn't like it, and it led to a lot of rifts. So maybe the money made things more complicated. Maybe he can't support his dad.
Yeah, but then now your dad is bare knuckle boxing John Rocker. So sometimes it's like, and maybe that's a decision he's willing to live with. I don't know.
It just felt like this was cooked up in some kind of, you know, lab. And it kind of feels like it was. Like, I don't know how Barstool and Dave Portnoy landed on these two guys because...
Well, why did they get somebody... Couldn't they get somebody a little more notorious for Rocker?
Oh, as opposed to Pat Mahomes?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, the Rocker doing this is actually very on brand.
Could they get like a Mitch Wilding Williams or I don't know, somebody
who... Well, there's a Met angle. I think that that's a big part of this.
Oh, with Mets Braves?
Yeah, well, Mahomes, he might have been on those teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
He was, yeah.
I don't think anybody knows Pat Mahomes, a baseball player. I'm looking at his stats, and he was marginal.
Yeah, he was. He was like a relief pitcher who bounced around the league.
He was a failed starter.
I don't think anyone knew who he was other than Patrick Mahomes' dad. Could they get like a John Daly type to go against John Rocker? Somebody we know was out of his mind.
So I think the problem with this one is and why it's like, there's no, like, sometimes with these celebrity fights, like, remember when Manute Bol fought, like, Butterbean or something? Like, there has to be an element of silliness to it, in my opinion.
Right. Like the Rocker part, that's why I'm saying, get a funny guy.
Right. Like, there has to be a twinkle in the eye. There has to be a like, oh, this is silly. Almost like to Mike Tyson, Jake Paul in some ways. It was like, this is silly. Little twinkle in the eye. This could some way be fun. Something about John Rocker, who there's nothing fun about John Rocker. He's just loathsome. And then for Mahomes Sr., just feels like a pretty kind of pathetic at this point. Yeah. And so I don't get the fun. I don't get the, this could be so silly, or look at this spectacle. It seems like two middle-aged guys fighting.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with this particular fight, and maybe it's shooting from the logo here a little bit, but I don't understand how this business of celebrity boxing is thriving so well. I don't know a lot of people who are... Clamoring.
We all watch the Tyson Paul thing.
Yeah, and I wanted to exclude Paul because he's become obviously a big business.
Yeah.
But these other celebrity fights that happen, and they happen like regularly now, they're happening. Like Le'Veon Bell is knocking people out in boxing rings and stuff. I don't know how they have the money to fund any of this. Like, I feel like in 20 years we're going to hear like, oh, there was going to be like a fire festival situation where we're going to find out, they didn't actually have the money to do what they were doing or whatever. Something doesn't make sense. I don't see how Rocker and Mahomes is a draw.
I think we're probably in the minority of people who might find this thing kind of like a weird ghoulish tune-in factor.
Rocker's a big deal. He's a draw.
Because people want to see him get punched out.
He's wildly controversial.
I don't think...
He's like Tanya Harding.
I don't disagree.
She also did celebrity boxing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think a lot of people don't know who he is still.
I don't think anyone knows. I think Patrick Mahomes could walk in right now and no one. I don't even know what he looks like. I mean, I vaguely know him. He's because Pat Jr. distances himself so much. Rocker is Tanya Harding. So that works a little, right?
I don't think it's the right opponent. I think, you know, this is a rare miss here for Portnoy.
Oh, they'll be fine.
Yes, Sully tells me Barstool is going to make it.
Yeah.
They're doing just fine. Thank you to EJ Stewart and to Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. Thank you to the Weedos and the Coffee Drinkers. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.